Back in Exodus, once again, in the Exploring the Word series, we're into chapter 21 right now. We'll see as it goes. Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Because we know that Moses has already set up this set of good judges, a set of people to help him out to judge. As we were studying about his father-in-law had give him some revelation on how to set this up to where they were judges given to specific groups and numbers within those groups. Now, these are the judgments that they're going to have to make decisions on as we continue in verse 2. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and then the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Now, this sounds like slavery, but it isn't. This is a kind of what we could compare to today is a contract, a contractual agreement with someone to serve them, and based on a monetary amount. It could be because of something that you wanted to gain financially or something that you wanted to pay back. There's different reasons why you would be indebted to someone and then you would wind up being their servant to pay back what you owed them or as a purchase of something. So it's not a master-slave relationship like we would think of today with the history that we have in this country and around the world where there is this slave that has no rights whatsoever, totally under the control of the master situation. That isn't what this is. This is a different scenario, so don't be confused in that. And verse 3, if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the door post, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So this price that he's paying here is to choose to give himself as a servant to this master for the rest of his life to gain the wife and children that he had received while working for his master, basically. So it's quite a price there. And it's interesting, the mark that is going to be put on him is to bore a hole through their ear. These days, kids do that just to be stylish. But back then, it was a symbol that you were permanently indebted to someone for what they had given you. Basically, in this situation, the guy was willing to be a servant because he loved his master. He liked the working situation, and he liked the family that he had gained while he was under that employment, so he wanted to stay there. Verse 7. And if a man tell his daughter, and if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. If she please not her master who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. And if he hath betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall be not diminished. And if he do not these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money. Guidelines on how to behave, how to treat people. Continuing in verse 12, he that smiteth, now he gets into something far more serious. The punishment of death, the penalty of death. Capital punishment, you may say, we use in this society. In verse 12, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. This is talking about justifiable homicide. This would be in a situation where you wind up killing somebody, but it wasn't in malice intent. As we continue here, you can see. But if a man presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. So this is a situation where there you have an encounter and you have someone fighting and one dies. In that situation, if it was spontaneous, it was not a premeditated murder, is what he's talking about here. If it's premeditated, then yeah, that man in premeditated murder shall be put to death. If it is not, then he will have to go out of the society. Because it says here, flee. Thou shalt take him from mine altar that he... No, wait a minute, back on up here in verse 13. I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. So he'll be cast out, basically. Now, it gets into further detail here in verse 15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. That one's pretty clear. If you kill your mother or your father, you're going to be put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. So this would be related to kidnapping today. The death sentence for that. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. There'd be a lot of dead kids around today, wouldn't there? Today's society is very acceptable, even promoted by one of our previous vice presidents had said something publicly to a group that he was speaking to, I believe it was at a graduation, and he had told them not to pay attention to their parents, because that the children were far more wise than their parents. And he got a lot of grief over that one. In verse 18, and if men strive together and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. Again, if you guys get, you know, you get in a fight, you wind up hurting somebody maliciously in a way, then you're responsible to pay for that person's medical care and his lost wages and so forth. Verse 20. If a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. This one gets into questionable act there, like a physical abuse of someone that you have the control over in a situation, whether it's in this really serious situation where you got master and servant, and you wind up getting angry with them and smite them. But here it goes into a little bit more detail on it. Well, it skips on down, but gets into different subjects. It goes back and forth here on this one. Drops down to 26. But let's get into a different one here, and then we'll continue back onto that. Because this one here is very, very well used in some areas, and in some areas used improperly. But verse 22, you'll see what I'm talking about. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. This would be if there was a fight that ensued and a man struck a woman that was pregnant and she miscarried. Then it would be put before the judges and they would determine what fine that came upon that man for causing the miscarriage. Not as serious as killing one that had been born already, but still serious. And it continues here in this clarity here in verse 23. If any mischief follow, Then shalt thou give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. It starts out as talking about a particular situation here with a pregnant lady and this abuse that could come upon her or a conflict that could result in a miscarriage. If there's continued conflict there, talking about mischief here, then there'd be a lot of accountability there to the point where if she was to die, then it would be eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. You know, that whatever that they had done to the woman, what the man had done to the woman to cause the miscarriage, he's got to be accountable for the miscarriage plus accountable for whatever injuries he put upon the woman. That's what it's talking about here. Now, this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth has been applied to all conflicts, which it could apply to that because it's the way it's generally spoken here. But if it's the way it's written is specific to a man harming a pregnant lady. Now, you've had this set of verses here used for both those that are in agreement to abortion and those that are opposed to abortion. The opposed to abortion, life for life. They talk about, well, you just took a life. And those that are in agreement to abortion say, yeah, but if you look at it in a little bit more detail here, they only valued the child as something that was punishable by the determination of the judges, not by death. Trying to devaluize the importance of the baby, the unborn baby, saying that an unborn baby is not as valuable as an adult. Well, through here you'll see that it is referenced through the scriptures that an adult is more valuable than even a child because of the verses that you can see throughout. It indicates that. But to say that the value of the child isn't significant is going too far. The Lord values us greatly. The longer we live, the more He values us because that's more time that we've had to have a relationship with Him. And the importance of what we have been blessed with to turn around and use for Him increases our value as well. So we are valued differently. So they can't take that and say that it would justify abortion. Continuing over in verse 26, now we get back into the subject of the servants. Reason, if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. So if you abuse someone in that way and you cause them bodily injury, serious bodily injury is what he's implying here, then that voids the contract altogether and they get to go free. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. Now it gets into animals. The behavior and control of what your animal does. Here in this area, you would not see this practice very much as to keep an ox or have an ox that you would work with and have around your home and be responsible for, but this could be applied to any animal that's under your care. And around here, the one that would be capable of killing people would be dogs. A lot of people have vicious dogs. And those vicious dogs go out and hurt people, bite people. And the laws that are in this area, if a dog is determined to be a vicious dog, it's put down. Those kind of things go all the way back here to the scriptures. You got to be, and if a owner of a dog knows that the dog is vicious, then that owner has to be responsible for that as well. As we see here with an ox, verse 28, if an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. Boy, wouldn't that change ownership of vicious dogs if they knew that if their dog got out and killed somebody, that they would die too? There are dogs around in the area that are very vicious. The pit bull, for instance. Of course, I'll get people that are pit bull fans to be angry with me, but that to me is one variety of the species that should have never been bred and should be eliminated. They are vicious. They are very capable of harm. Sure, you got some that are in a proper state and proper condition that can be very docile, but they all have the potential to be capable of killing someone. That trigger is very easily triggered in the pit bull variety. And there are other dogs out there that are bred to be vicious that should never be bred. They should be annihilated, in my opinion. That's my opinion. So you can take that for what it's worth. Just my opinion. I have witnessed dog attacks in the past, and my brother, he's got scars on his arm where he got tore up by a dog. I got tore up when I was a kid. I've seen other kids get tore up, and I know that dogs are very capable of doing great harm. And usually it just passed off as, oh, they were bugging that dog. You know, they were picking on the dog. You know, everybody starts automatically trying to defend the dog. Well, if you go back to the scriptures and the ordinance, the owner of a dog, cat, donkey, ox, whatever it might be, that's capable of inflicting harm on somebody else, if they knew they were capable of doing that or had the nature of doing that, then the owner should be held responsible as well as the animal. So if the animal kills somebody and the owner knew it was capable of that, then the owner would also be put to death. In this situation here, it was given to the children of Israel back then. Verse 30, if there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him, whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. Responsibility for our actions in all kinds of ways. Even if we go out here and create a hazard that results in the loss of someone else's animal or harm to someone else. Here in this area, we have laws that talk about an attractive nuisance. If you put something in your yard that is an attractive nuisance, then you can be responsible for that. Such as if you have a swimming pool in your yard and you do not have it fenced in, that is a violation because that's an attractive nuisance. That would attract a child to come in and get in that swimming pool and possibly drown. So you are responsible for that. That's why they have laws in this area that you have to have all swimming pools fenced in. Because if you do anything in your yard that appeals to people, even a water garden, for instance, they have rules and regulations of water garden in this area can only be as much as 18 inches deep. Anything over that could be hazardous, more hazardous, to a child if they were to get in there and could drown. So if you have a pond that's deeper than 18 inches, you're more liable if somebody gets in there and gets hurt. All these ordinances we can see on the laws and books today all find their roots all the way back here to the behavior of society that was prescribed. And they're always talking about how they want to get God out of everything. You cannot get God out of this country because He is in everything. The bases that were given to us back here by the Lord to the children of Israel are still within every organized society on the planet. All can be traced back to here, where the foundations were set, where the roots, where the behavior of civilized society comes back to their moral base is right here in the scriptures. And if one man's ox hurt another's that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to push in time past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. Simple ordinances prescribed accountability for what you have, to look after what you have, accountability for your actions, accountability for those that are responsible, or I should say, are under your responsibility. Let's get running into 22 here. We've got a little bit more time. Chapter 22, because it just keeps on flowing with this. If a man shall sell an ox or a sheep and kill it, or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. So if you steal somebody's ox and then you turn around and sell it, or you kill it, then you got to repay five ox for one, four sheep for one. So you're not only paying back what you took, you're giving extra compensation for it. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. In other words, if somebody comes in and tries to steal your stuff and you kill them as in a process of defending your possessions, then that's justifiable homicide. We have that ordinance here in this region here. If you're in your home and somebody breaks into your home and you kill them, that's self-defense. I've even had some officers say that if they run out and they get to the porch before they drop dead, drag them back inside before the cops get there. You know, just in jest, but that's why it would apply to the law that here in this area, if they're in your home, then they cross the border and they're free game, you might say. So it goes all the way back to here as well. If someone's breaking in, trying to steal your stuff and they get killed, then there's no harm coming to the one that did the killing because it was justifiable homicide. Verse 3, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. Now this is talking about you can't later decide you want to kill him. It's like in the occurrence of the situation, then yeah, in your defense you can kill him. But it's not like the next day you find out that the guy stole from you and then you go kill him. Then it wouldn't be justifiable. That's what he's talking about here about the sun rising. For he should make full restitution. So if you find the guy that stole from you, you don't go kill him. You make him give you full restitution. If he hath nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So a criminal that comes, breaks in your house, steals your stuff, and you find that criminal later, then he's got to pay restitution for what he stole from you. If it was an ox, he's got to give you five back. If it was a sheep, he's got to give you four back. If he hadn't got anything because he done sold everything or gave it away or used it to buy drugs or whatever, then you sell him into servitude to pay back what he stole from you. In verse 4, if the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, okay, he's still got the sheep that he stole from you, whether it be an ox or an ass or sheep, he shall restore double. So you get that one back plus two more. If a man shall cause a field, now here you go, here's responsibility also in your behaviors out here in doing yard work. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten and shall put in his beast and shall feed in another man's field or the beast of his own field, of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. So if you let your cow go out and he goes eats the neighbor's field and you got to pay restitution for what he took out of the best of your field. And verse 6, if fire break out, like if you're out here burning brush, it'll be around here. A lot of people like to burn brush. Sometimes it creates a fire and it burns a whole hillside. It burns hundreds of acres sometimes. Here this applies all the way back to that. Verse 6, if a fire break out and catch in thorns, because that's usually what they would be burning the thorns so they clear a field to be able to plant, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, He that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. So if you cause a fire that causes property damage to somebody else, you got to pay for it. These are things that are not in practice today. The thief that steals stuff, they just get away with it free. You take them to court. Even sometimes you can prove it. Even sometimes you've got them on video. They still get a slap on the wrist and they go free. Or if they get some jail time, what do they get in jail time? Free room and board, and watch TV, they're on the internet, and all kinds of stuff they're doing. They're playing basketball, all these activities, and being well cared for, they got medical attention, all this that you get from common thieves. Now, the more serious crimes, they got more serious punishment in prison, yes. But some of the lighter duty crimes, you know, it's like a vacation. Verse 7. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. So if you find a guy, he's got to pay back double. So if you borrow your neighbor's lawnmower and another neighbor comes over and steals it, then that second neighbor has to pay back double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he hath put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. It's like, okay, I borrowed your lawnmower and then somebody stole it. And you get to think, well, wait a minute, you might have stole it yourself. So the man who borrowed it has to go before the judges and prove that he didn't steal it himself, that it was a genuine theft. Verse 9, for all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. So if there's some dispute over the possession of something, like you got a bunch of cows or a bunch of sheep or a bunch of oxes, and they start intermingling, and then you get thinking, okay, this one's mine, no, it ain't, it's mine, and they start disputing over which one owns which one, then you can take it before the judges, and the judges determine whose it is. And then not only you're going to get that one, you got to pay double. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. Like if it was a sincere situation where something happened to an animal that you were taking care of or somebody else, and then if you swear to the Lord that you didn't do anything, then you're not accountable for having to pay that one back. Verse 12. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness. Bring in the pieces, in other words. And he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be hired thing, it came from his hire. Let's go ahead and close, and we'll pick it up in this next week. Lord Jesus, and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It contains so much in there. If we just take the time to study it.